ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're on text 26 in chapter 11, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. Shriyo Nivaso Yasyoraha Pana Patram Mukhangdrisham Bahavo Lokapalanam Saranganam Padambujam Shriyo Nivaso Yasyoraha Pana patrang mukhang drisham Bahavo lokapalanam Saranganang padambujam Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha Pana patrang mukhang drisham Bahavo lokapalanam Saranganang padambujam Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha Pana patrang mukham drisham Bahavo lokapalanam Saranganam padambujam
Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha
Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha
Panapatram mukham drisham
Panapatram mukham drisham Bahavo lokapalanam
Saranganam padambujam
Saranganam padambujam
Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha
Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha
Panapatram mukham drisham
Panapatram mukham drisham
Bahavo lokapalanam
Bahavo lokapalanam
Saranganam padambujam
Saranganam padambujam
Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha
Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha
Panapatram mukham drisham
Panapatram mukham drisham
Bahavo lokapalanam
Bahavo lokapalanam
Saranganam padambujam
Saranganam padambujam
Shriyo nivaso yasyora
Shriyo nivaso yasyora
Panapatram mukham drisham
Panapatram mukham drisham
Bahavo lokapalanam
Saranganam padambujam
Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha
Panapatram mukham drisham
Bahavo lokapalanam
Bahavo lokapalanam Saranganam padambujam Shriyaha
of the goddess of fortune
Nivasaha residential place Yasya one whose Uraha chest Panapatram the drinking pot Mukham face Drisham of eyes Bahavaha the arms Lokapalanam of the administrative demigods Saranganam of the devotees who talk and sing of the essence of or substance Padambujam, the lotus feet.
Okay, who can say what saranganam means? Translation. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods. And his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. Please repeat. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face
is the drinking vessel
for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful.
His arms are the resting places
for the administrative demigods.
And his lotus feet
are the refuge of pure devotees
who never talk or sing of any subject
except his lordship.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
There are different classes of human beings, all seeking different enjoyments from different objects. There are persons who are seeking after the favor of the goddess of fortune, and for them, the Vedic literatures give information that the Lord is always served with all reverence by thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune at the Chintamani Dhamma, the transcendental abode of the Lord, where the trees are all desire trees and all the buildings are made of touchstone. The Lord Govinda is engaged there in herding the Surabhi cows as his natural occupation. These goddesses of fortune can be seen automatically if we are attracted by the bodily features of the Lord. The impersonalist cannot observe such goddesses of fortune because of their dry speculative habit. And those who are artists, overtaken by the beautiful creation, should better see to the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. The face of the Lord is the embodiment of beauty. What they call beautiful nature is but his smile, and what they call the sweet songs of the birds are but specimens of the whispering voice of the Lord. There are administrative demigods in charge of departmental service of cosmic management. And there are tiny administrative gods in the state service. They are always afraid of other competitors. But if they take shelter of the arms of the Lord can protect them always from the attacks of enemies. A faithful servant of the Lord engaged in the service of administration is the ideal executive head and can well protect the interests of the people in general. Other so-called administrators are symbols of anachronisms, leading to the acute distress of the people who are governed by them. The administrators can remain safely under the protection of the arms of the Lord. The essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called the Saram. And those who sing and talk about him are called the Sarangas, or the pure devotees. The pure devotees are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey which is transcendentally relished by the devotees. They are like the bees who are always after the honey. Srila Rupa Goswami, the great devotee Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to the bee. O my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly, therefore, give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources for all transcendental honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Still, infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet. But because your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom, and therefore I am very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please therefore let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service.
The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord and have no ambition to see his all-beautiful face, or aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees. They're satisfied with being at the lotus feet of the Lord. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Ritam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabhadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhandritangsha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Jvala Prematya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Kuruna Shakti Vigrahayan Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Tvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhumes Twang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Twishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Suratao Pangor Mamamanda Matergati Matsarvasvapadam Bhojo Radha Madana Mohanao Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadhak, Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastau, Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau, Prashtali Bhik Sevyamano Smarami, Sriman Rasara Sarambhi, Vangshivata Tatak Stitaha, Karshan Venu Svanayar Gopir, Gopinathak Shriyestunaha, Taptakanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Brindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyayai Keshavashyacha Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi Satyabhatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Matsamo nasti papatma, naparadhik chakashchana, prahihare lapilajame, king bruve purushottama, yuvatinang yata yuni, yunang cha yuvatau yuta, manobhi ramate tatvan, manome ramatang twai, pumaus kalita padanang, bhumireva valambanam, Tvai jata paradhanang tvangtivang sharanam prabho Govinda valabhe radhe prarthaye tvamahangsada Tvadiyam iti janatu Govindo mang tvayasaha Radhe brindavanadhishe karunamrita bahini Kripaya nijapadabja dasyang mahyang padiyatam vande nanda brajastrinang pararenum abhikshnashaha yasang harikatot gitang punati bhuvanatrayam nama shreshtang manumapi shachiputram atrasvarupam shri rupam tasyagrajamuru purim maturin goshtavatim Radha kundang girivaram mahoradhika madhavasang prato yasya pratita kripaya shri gurung tang natosmi adadana strinang dantair idang yache punak punaha shrimad rupa padam bhoja rajohang syam bhave bhave kantaya madrira bala haridasya varyo yadrama krishna charanas parasha pramodaha Manang tanoti saha go ganayos tayoryat pani asuya basakandara kandamulahi Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Vasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Excuse me. Shriyo nivaso yasyo raha pana patrang mukham drisham bahavo loka palanang saranganam padambujam. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. So, I guess this is Suta Goswami still talking. In the last verse, he was talking about how the inhabitants of Dwarka were regularly accustomed to look upon the reservoir of beauty, of all beauty, the infallible Lord, and they were never satiated. Hanumat Swami was here. He gave a class on that verse. And now he's going on talking, describing the beautiful Lord in these very beautiful poetic phrases. We were talking about prayers. How do we pray to Lord Krishna? What name should we pray to? And so forth. We see in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam so many beautiful prayers composed by great realized personalities. We can learn these prayers. We can, as we do, we recite all so many prayers this morning. We recited Brahma Samhita and Nama Ashtaka, Bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan, and this other Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. There's so many beautiful prayers. And we can see these choice. One name of Krishna is Uttama Shloka. That name is used a lot among many names. Uttama Shloka means that he's praised in these very choice shlokas, prayer, the very choice Sanskrit verses. So here this verse has described how his chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. We know that Shri resides on his chest. He has the Shri Vatsa, special Shri Vatsa mark on his chest. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. So this is very nice and poetic. How normally we don't think of drinking with eyes, but we have an experience sometimes that when we see something very beautiful, it's like we're drinking it in with our eyes. So this is a poetic metaphor that often it's described how devotees go and they see Krishna and they drink him in with their eyes. The wives of the Brahmins drank Krishna with their eyes when they saw him in the forest, and so did the gopis when they went out. And the night sky was all reddish, the harvest moon. or Sharat, Sharat season moon. And so it is so beautiful that we drink him with our eyes. They're the drinking vessel for the eyes. You can imagine these thirsty eyes that they don't know where to go for, to get something to drink. And then there's the drinking vessel, the Lord's beautiful face. And his arms are the resting place for administrative demigods. Srila Prabhupada talks a lot about that in the purport, how important the administration, good administration is. And Krishna's arms are the resting places for the good administrators, not the bureaucrats who are like anachronisms. What does he call them? Other so-called administrators, symbols of anachronisms, leading to acute distress of the people in general. Bad government. His lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. Saranganam, of the devotees who talk and sing of the essence or substance. So that's what that means. Talk, and they don't talk and sing or anything else. I know, speaking for myself, I hear so many other things, mundane things, and it just disturbs my mind. It's hard, you know, even when I come to the temple, but the mind is busy talking about other stuff. But if we if we chant these holy names, holy stotras and shlokas and things, we can sort of get clear away that clutter and get to something really nice. But it's a practice of devotees, sadhana bhakti, to give up useless idle talks, prajalpa, and to not talk or sing about anything except what's necessary for their service. And part of our service is to always discuss Krishna and his qualities and names and things like this. So this verse is a very beautiful prayer. And then Srila Prabhupada's purport is a very beautiful prayer. And then within the purport, he includes this very beautiful prayer by Rupa Goswami about the lotus feet, the honey at the lotus feet of the Lord. And in the purport, he talks about the beauty. Those who are artists overtaken by the beautiful creation should better to see the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. The face of the Lord is the embodiment of beauty. What they call beautiful nature is but his smile, and what they call the sweet songs of birds are but specimens of the whispering voice of the Lord. We're hearing, a lot of us are reading the 15th chapter every day, and how Lord Krishna is the Purushottama, and therefore he's everything. I'm trying to think of some stories, but you know, when you've seen Krishna, then you've seen everything. You know, we, in the beginning stages, we may imagine the great universal form of the Lord as supreme, but actually Krishna contains that that universal form of the Lord. I'm trying to. I can't. Hare Krishna, welcome. So, like for example, there's the story of Durvasa Muni. And he came with his 10,000 disciples, and Draupadi had that pot that she could feed everyone unlimitedly, but they'd already eaten. So there was a dilemma. How could she feed all the disciples of Durvasa Muni? So Krishna said, give me one grain from that pot. And when he ate it, and he was satisfied, they were all satisfied. They were full, and they couldn't come and stay for for the meal. They had to go away so that they didn't have to be afraid that some terrible curse would happen if they offended the sage and not be able to feed his disciples. Because if Krishna is satisfied, then everyone is satisfied, because Krishna is everything. I've been reading Krishna book sorry, that's not going to help you. I've just been reading Krishna book, and I've been reading these things where Krishna's explaining how I'm everything, that when I'm satisfied, everyone is satisfied, that when you've seen me, you've seen everything. And it's there in the 15th chapter as well. But I can't. But I apologize that I can't remember which one I just read, about which prayers I just read, whether it was in Muchakunda or. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam is so full of all these wonderful prayers. The Prabhupada's expression, what we call beautiful nature is just the smile of Krishna, and the song of the birds is the whispering of his voice. So anything that we see beautiful, yat vibhuti mat satvang srimad orjitam eva va tat tadeva vigachatvam mamo tejvangsha sambhavam. In the 10th chapter, he says that whatever is beautiful and opulent and powerful of his nature is just a spark of his splendor. Oops, I just had it and lost it. Yes, 121. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Atava buhunaitena king gyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham hidang kritsnam ekangshena stitojagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So the mundane poets are accustomed to seeing the beautiful, describing beautiful and powerful things in the world, beautiful sights and powerful emotions and interactions and things. But they should, you know, if they should better understand that all this is just a small manifestation of Krishna's energy. And whatever, he's the source of all that is found to exist, of all vices, all virtues, the Vedas. We sang that in Brahma Samhita this morning. But especially those things that are beautiful and wonderful are representations of Krishna. And it contemplating those things in that way, it will remind us of Krishna. Those devotees who are accustomed to always hearing and chanting about Krishna, for them, the material creation becomes very insignificant because they're connected up to the beautiful features of the Lord. They're always constantly serving his lotus feet. Let me read that prayer by Rupa Goswami over again. Oh, my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly, therefore, give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources for all transcendental honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Still, O infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet, but because your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom, and therefore I am very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please, therefore, let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. So, Prabhu, you were asking about earlier about praying, how should we pray? So here are some examples by great devotees of how they're praying. He's comparing himself. He's thinking, even great Lord Brahma, he can't see even the toenails of Krishna. He has to go and meditate, and even then it's very difficult for him. So then he's saying, well, I have that ambition that I want to do that because I hear that they're the resources of all the transcendental nectar, but how can I do it? I don't have any sincerity. But still, I know that you can do anything, so please let my mind become fixed at your lotus feet. Our mind is fixed on so many other things. So these are beautiful prayers. Let's have some discussion or questions, or please use the microphone. Yes, Ramananda Saka.
Generally, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many references where devotees like Narad,
Brahma, Lord Brahma, they can go and see Lord Vishnu face to face. But on the other hand, there are also descriptions that even Lord Brahma cannot even see the, what is it, the rays from the nails of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, even after a great meditation. So these two, they look kind of contrary to each other.
Well, Narada can always, because he's a pure devotee, I know he can go. It's always by Krishna's will. When Krishna is present, you know, in the material world, he's present performing his manifest pastimes, then Lord Brahma can go and try to see him. But even then, he's amazed. In the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Lord Brahma offers these prayers of how amazed he is when he stole the cowherd boys and the calves, and he held them in the cave, and then Krishna manifested himself as the cowherd boys and the calves. And then when Lord Brahma came back, he was startled to see, why are the boys and calves still there? Then they all turned into Narayans. You know, Narayan is very difficult for Lord Brahma to go see, but here they were all circling Krishna, and he saw this amazing manifestation, and he was so bewildered. So it's not, we shouldn't think that Lord Brahma can just very easily go see Krishna whenever he wants. He has to gain an audience. And similarly with Narada Muni, it's because of his mood, because of Narada's mood of pure devotion, that he can see Krishna. That's the only thing. Krishna is very easily captured by his pure devotees. But unless you have that bhakti, then you can't control Krishna. You can't demand. He may come to, you know, be present before you. And in displaying his pastimes, he comes to the world and shows how he deals with different demons and gods and people, and reestablishes Dharma and kills all these people, all these Kshatriyas, millions of them, all of Jarasandha's army over and over again. He's killing them and does all these things. But it's not just that, even Mahavishnu. All right, there's a story. I haven't read this in a while because it's later toward the end of the Krishna book. I'm reading the Krishna book now for this month, and I'm in this Shamantaka Jewel pastime, and now the conspiracy where they killed Satrajit. But the story is that there was a Brahmin in Dwarka. It must have been in Dwarka. And somehow Arjuna was visiting there. But I think it was in Dwarka, because the Brahmin, he kept having children, and then as soon as his children were born, they were being kidnapped. One after another. You know the story? One after another. His wife would give birth to a child, and they would be kidnapped. And he would come, and he was angry. He would say, "Oh, you kings of the Yadu dynasty, Balaram, Krishna, what are you doing? You can't protect me? You know, I'm here in your kingdom. You're the great kings of the world, and somebody's kidnapping my children as the newborn children and taking them away, and you can't stop this. You know, what are you going to do?" So Arjuna happened to be there, and somehow or another he was moved to say, I'll stop it. I swear, you know, the next time you have a child, I'll protect it. And if anyone comes to kidnap it, I'll get that child, or else I myself will die. I'll enter into a fire and burn myself to ashes." So when the Brahmin's wife was next to give birth, Arjuna shot arrows all over everywhere to protect it. And he was standing there and making sure this time, you know, there won't be any kidnapping. But sure enough, the child disappeared and was kidnapped. And then Krishna said, you know, and Krishna was concerned now. Arjuna had made this vow. If he didn't, he was not able to retrieve the child, then he would have to burn himself in the fire. So Krishna had his transcendental chariot with his horses, Sugriva and Megaduta, Megapushpa. Anyhow, he had this, all his wonderful horses, and Shaibya, and he and Arjuna, they traveled around everywhere to find the child. It may have been at that time that they also, I'm not sure, but it may have been at that time that they also went to Indraloka, and Arjuna saw his father. But they were traveling everywhere, and they even went to the edge of the universe. And then the horses were nervous. They didn't want to go into the darkness through the coverings of the universe. But then, you know, Krishna spurred them on, and they actually went out into the causal ocean, into where Mahavishnu was. And then when they finally, after going everywhere, they saw Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu said, "I've been stealing the children. And I did this just because I wanted to get audience of Krishna. And I knew that if this would..." So they had some discussion, and Mahavishnu displayed his subordinate nature, his subordinate to Krishna. And he gave back the children, and Arjuna was successful, and they brought them back to the Brahmin. But then there's discussion in the Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada starts talking about how the acharyas are discussing, well, why did Mahavishnu have to go through that much trouble? He personally came and was stealing the children. And but second of all, why, if he wanted to see Krishna, why didn't he just come and see Krishna? He's Mahavishnu, he's in charge of everything. And there's very interesting discussion of this. We should all read the Krishna book to get all the points exactly right. But the point is that to actually have darshan of Krishna is not very easy, even for Mahavishnu, who is Krishna. Go figure. And for Lord Brahma also, there's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Brahma actually comes to Dwarka. Well, I'll tell you that in the story of Satrajit in the Shamantaka Jewel, which I just read yesterday, that... the Shamantaka Jewel was, because Satrajit was a great devotee of the sun god, and through his devotion and everything, he developed a friendly relationship with the sun god, and the sun god gave him this wonderful jewel. And the quality of this Shamantaka Jewel was that if you worshipped it, it would produce something over like 180 pounds per day of gold. And also, in whatever that country where it was being worshipped, there would be no famine, no pestilence, no inauspiciousness whatsoever. And it was so bright that when you wore the jewel, like when King Satrajit would wear the jewel around his neck and travel around on horseback and everything, even people who knew King Satrajit, they couldn't see him. He would become that effulgent, like he would be like the second sun god. And they would think the sun god is coming. So Satrajit was... king in the vicinity of and within the domain of the Dwarka, the Yadu kingdom. And so when he would come, sometimes he would come to see Krishna. And the residents of Dwarka, they knew that demigods were coming sometimes to see Krishna. So when they saw Satrajit coming in, they thought, oh, the sun god has come. He's coming to get audience of Krishna. They went to tell Krishna, oh, now the sun god is coming. He's come to see you. And Krishna said, no, that's really just Satrajit wearing the Shamantaka jewel. So the demigods would come to get darshan of Krishna. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a story how Lord Brahma came there to get darshan. And when he came, he sought entrance. He went, approached Krishna's servants, attendants, and he said, "Now I've come to see Krishna." And the attendants came out and they said, "Who are you? Krishna wants to know who's coming." So he said, I'm Brahma." So then the servant came back and said, "Yes, you're Brahma. Krishna wants to know which Brahma you are." And he said, "Well, I'm the four-headed Brahma that's the Lord of the universe, you know. So then, you know, when he came there, he saw that there were other Brahmas that were coming to see Krishna. Some of them had, you know, 1,000 heads, and some of them had 10,000 heads. Some of them had 50,000 heads. There were all these different Brahmas that had come, and Krishna was in charge of all of them, you know. So it really, even we should understand that if Brahma can see Krishna, it's only because of his pure devotional service. If he can, or else Krishna, because of Krishna's divine grace that Krishna wants to show himself. But if anyone can see Krishna whenever they want, it's because they're pure devotees. Yang shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam premanjana churita bhakti vilocha daiva santa. What is it? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Those whose eyes are smeared with the salve of bhakti, they always see Krishna in their hearts of hearts. They can always see Krishna. And Krishna becomes subordinate to them. And he tells the gopis, you know, he disappears from the rasa dance. And the gopis become very, or he disappears from the, when they go to see him for the rasa dance, and they become very distressed, and they go looking for him, and they're in great anxiety. And then when Krishna returns to them, he says, actually, I never was separated from you. To show you my favor, you know, there's this discussion there, but I'm always sitting right there to see how you're going to react when I disappear. And they're very pleased by the way you've reacted, by how you're in so much anxiety. Here it says, the pure devotees never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. Now I can, you know, get interested in, oh, there's some documentary on the Discovery Channel about the bears of some, you know, in some country, some nonsense subject. But the gopis can't think of anything but Krishna. They're always attached to Krishna. The pure devotees, they're not interested in any subject other than Krishna. They may be able to talk about, in order to do their service, they may be able to discuss what's necessary to carry out their business. But really they're only doing it for Krishna, and they're always hankering, when will I be able to just see Krishna again? And that's the mood of pure devotees. And devotees who have that mood, then they can actually purchase Krishna. Krishna will do what they want, actually. In fact, Krishna said to the gopis that, I'm so pleased with the way that you're serving me that I can't repay you in any way. You know, it's said that ye yata mang prapadyate tangs tataiva bhajamiham. Krishna will reciprocate exactly according to, you know, how someone surrenders. But for the gopis, their surrender was so complete, and their love was so pure, and their dependence was so absolute, that Krishna said, there's no way I can reciprocate with that. You'll just have to be satisfied. You'll be satisfied with your own, you know, pious activities by themselves. That attachment that you have for me is itself its own reward. It's the greatest reward. I can't reciprocate. So therefore, I can appear to be cruel to you by making you suffer in separation. But it's actually only to inspire your love to increase even more. I'm not really being cruel that way.
I just have a couple of points.
So. Microphone.
One is when you were saying that Krishna can only be known by devotional service. I just saw that in the Shloka book where you pointed out this verse on page 121, just on the next page, 123, is this other famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 1154, that is the Bhaktiya Tav Anyaya Sakya Aham Evam Vido Arjuna Gnatum Drashtum Cha Tatvena praveshtam cha parantapa. My dear Arjun, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you and can thus be seen directly. He refers to seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So there again in the Bhagavad Gita he says that I can only be understood and seen by pure devotional service. The other point I wanted to make is that in the purport where there is this reference to the face of Krishna and the beauty there, a third way down to the purport, there is came across this sentence, and those who are artists overtaken by the beautiful creation should better see to the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. And so other day when Hanumat Prasak was here, we were having this extended discussion about satiation and satisfaction. And that in the previous verse it is referred to is that these ladies in Dwarka who go up to the roof to see Krishna have not really seen him that many times. Because in the material world, when you see something that many times, you get satiated, but here they are not satiated. But then here comes the point about satisfaction, that when they see the face of the Lord, they get completely satisfied.
Right.
So we are making that point, and here is the proof for that.
Yeah, satiation means, you know, you've got enough and you don't want any more, and the devotees are never satiated, but they are satisfied when they see Krishna. They can want more and more and more. And a lot of this, like a lot of the devotees you hear, they haven't seen Krishna very much. Like Akrura, he had heard about Krishna, but now he was driving his chariot. He was thinking, now I'm finally going to see him. And Rukmini, she had heard about Krishna all the time. Narada Muni was coming. Other people, sages, were always coming to Vidarbha and seeing her father and things like that. And she had the opportunity to serve them and hear them talking about Krishna. So she fell in love with him by hearing about him. She had never seen him, but she wrote him. She sent the brahmana to deliver her message. And then when she was there at her marriage that she was going to be given to Shishupal, she was very anxious that hopefully Krishna will come and kidnap me. Then when she saw among the princes that Krishna was there, she immediately recognized him. Oh, that's Krishna, I know, my love, because she had heard about him. So we hear in the verse, Bhaktya Twananyaya Shakya Hamevang Vidhorjuna, that comes at the end of the 11th chapter. And so first, you know, Arjuna asks, so Krishna explains in the 10th chapter his vibhuti manifestations. We were talking earlier about how Krishna is present in the world by different representations. Everything that's powerful and wonderful, of fishes he's the shark, and of, you know, the great mountains he's Meru, and of the unshakable things, you know, he's the Himalayan mountain range, and, you know, well, all these things, you know, secret things, he's silence. That those things that are of trees, he's the banyan tree. We were talking about that. Vaishwa was talking about that the other day. How, you know, banyan tree is this wonderful mystical tree that, you know, so of these of amazing things in the world, those things that are most wonderful and amazing, they're representations of Krishna. We can understand that Krishna appears in this way as the amazing things that appear to our senses. So then Arjuna said, I want to see that form of yours, how you you know, how you are the whole universe, how you pervade everything by your greatness. And so then Krishna gives him the divine eyes to see, you know. Nobody ever before had seen this form. And Arjuna sees this overwhelming, amazing manifestation of the universal form. As Akrura also saw one manifestation when he was taking bath after he left with Krishna on the chariot. But the point was that it is very frightening. And you can see in even in the poetry of Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter, it's kind of an emotional climax there where Arjuna is repeating himself because he's so astounded and shocked. And he tells Krishna, you know, that my mind is disturbed. I can't maintain my equilibrium, you know, and please Now I want to see you go back to your I want to see you with four hands holding the club and the conch and the wheel and the lotus. And then Krishna went back to his four-handed form, and then he went back to his especially beautiful form, his human-like two-handed form, which was described as the beautiful form. And then Arjuna is saying, now that I see this way, I'm restored to my original nature. And Krishna is saying, the only way you can see me this way is by pure devotional service. So this is a special, to see Krishna, especially as Krishna, is very rare and very special. And it's only by, Krishna can only be seen. Sometimes he comes and manifests himself once in the day of Brahma or some incredibly long period of trillions of years and cycles of yugas and things like that, every thousand times he'll come. But those who are able to take up this path of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada is distributing, and Lord Chaitanya has come to give very freely this path of spontaneous devotional service of pure love, following the mood of the Brij Basis, then they will go to be with Krishna and to see Krishna and the most beautiful of all forms. Go ahead.
So that two-handed form is the Shama Sundara form.
Yeah. Anyway, he's saying it's his beautiful form. Yeah, it's Sundara. I forget the word he uses actually. The Shama Sundara is two-handed Krishna described, Govinda described in Brahma Samhita that we were reading, that he's playing on his flute. He's got a threefold bending form. Tribhanga Lalita Anyata Prakasham Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This was the meditation. There was a lot in here, how his chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. Some people try to seek the goddess of fortune separately from Krishna. But if they're seeking the favor of the goddess of fortune, they should receive this information, Prabhupada says, of how the goddess of fortune, and he quotes the Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakarasatmashu Kalpavriksha, that thousands of goddesses of fortune are serving Krishna in his abode of Goloka. Anything else? We got a late start in the reading Bhagavatam, so we've gone very late already. So beautiful purport, isn't it? And verse. Just these beautiful... the Bhagavatam is so full of these beautiful descriptions of Krishna and poetic descriptions. You know, how his beautiful face is the drinking vessel for those who want to see something beautiful. What is it? The drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. Okay, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.